This is Wells Tech, a show that explores the intersection of technology and ministry. Wells Tech is a part of the Streams Media Network sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Your show hosts are Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Join the conversation at wellstech.wells.net. Welcome back, everybody. You have joined Wells Tech for episode 461 for Tuesday, September 6th, 2016. Again, this is Martin Spriggs. We are here each and every week talking about technology and ministry topics, and alongside, as usual, Sally Draper. Hi, Sally.
Good afternoon, Martin, and welcome to the Tuesday that feels like Monday. So coming off a holiday weekend, it's kind of hard to get your bearings when you go back to work on a Tuesday.
You know, the thing about Mondays off is you have to squeeze in Monday and Tuesday into one day now. So that's kind of where my calendar looks today.
Busy day of meetings for sure. So, but does make for a nice short week. It was a nice long holiday weekend for me.
Out of state.
That's right. We boogied on up to North Dakota to visit our middle son at the University of North Dakota, and we enjoyed celebrating his birthday with him. And we did another escape room. I told you about an escape room in Colorado. We got locked in once again for an hour to try to solve a pandemic and find the antidote that was going to save the world. And wonderful news for you that we did save the world. We got the antidote with 6 minutes to spare in our hour. So much fun to do these escape rooms. I'm really hooked.
Neat.
Yeah.
My oldest daughter was in town with my youngest grandson, so we had a good time. She came up because my youngest daughter was wedding dress shopping, so the girls, three generations at least, went out and found a wedding dress. So
very exciting. Father of the Bride, we'll have to rewind that movie and watch it and see what you're living through.
One of my favorites, yeah, and there's a couple of versions we can choose from. So
that's right, that's right. Well,
Sally,
fun stuff.
Topic. We have finished our summer series on a bunch of different things, a little bit lighter, more focused shows, and now we're getting back in the swing of things. And one thing that came out of this summer, or maybe late spring, was a kind of one of our superstar photographers who was able to, I don't know how many photos she contributed, but it was maybe even a majority of the photos that went into the Wells Tech Photo Challenge. Naomi Green was good enough to come on the show and talk a little bit about what she uses and her approach to photography, and kind of a neat conversation. And it's perfect timing because we wanted to do a show on photography. We ran across a number of great articles lately. There was one entitled 37 Visual Content Marketing Statistics You Should Know in 2016. And a lot of these we've kind of worked around a little bit. We've talked about a little bit, but this was a great read, and we'll put the link in the show notes, of course. But it kind of reinforced for me the importance of photography when you are considering things like website design, use of social networks, those kinds of things. And, you know, where they shared statistics like researchers found that colored visuals increase people's willingness to read a piece of content by 80%. That's 80%. So it as you read all these, it's really just kind of stupid not to include visuals in whatever content that you're putting on the web, because if you're not, they're probably not reading it.
Yeah, I'm thinking the converse statement to that very first statistic is researchers found that people that choose to not include visuals are only attracting at most 20% of the readers. You know, I mean, you put it that way and it's like exactly what you said, not very smart to make the decision to not include visual content. And I think that's why we felt the Wells Tech Photo Challenge was something we wanted to get behind and support and promote over the last year, because our churches and schools need great imagery to be able to use in their communications.
And that's the key. One of these other statistics in this article is content with relevant images gets 94% more views and content without relevant images. So it's not just about putting any image in there. It's putting the right image. And I think as we play Naomi Green's interview, you're going to get that impression too, as she's very thoughtful about composing, getting the subject matter right, and thinking ahead versus just kind of looking through the collection and, you know, tagging one saying, well, this kind of fits. She's creating, she's crafting what gets in front of the lens and then ultimately what gets published in some way, shape, or form.
Yep. And I think somewhere along the line, maybe about midway through the process of this whole year of Wells Tech Photo Challenges, I said to you, maybe God had us do this photo challenge just so Naomi could share her content. Not that the other people that shared weren't fabulous, and we got some really great content, but the Lord has really blessed Naomi, and she had the time and the dedicated heart to want to share all that content with our Wells community, and we're just so thankful for that. And as you'll see in the interview we're going to play right now, that she's got a lot of enthusiasm for what she does.
Absolutely. That's energizing too. So let's listen or watch that interview now.
We are very happy to have joining us today on Wells Tech, Miss Naomi Green, who hails from the great state of Minnesota, I believe, and who has been a superstar in our recent Wells Tech Photo Challenge. So we're excited to get the chance to speak with you, Naomi. Welcome.
Thank you. Hey, nice to be here. Hi.
And maybe you could just start things out by giving us a little bit of background on yourself and your family and that kind of thing.
Sure. In order to do that, I'm going to see if I can do my screen share thing here.
Wow.
And I'll show you a picture to introduce our family. Let's see if I can get that up. So you see now the picture. Okay. So I am dressed in my photography clothes in this picture, all in black down at the bottom. And obviously that's before I started growing out my gray hair, which you saw on the screen before. I am wife to Pastor Darren Green here in Monticello. He is standing in the back there with our little baby chihuahua. Actually, she's almost five. Then there's our kids. There's Noah, who is now going into his second year at Milwaukee School of Engineering. You see Carlos, who was our international student from China, who lived with us for all 4 years of high school and is now starting at Penn State this year. And then our daughter, Natalia, who is a junior at West Lutheran High School in the cities in Plymouth. So there's our little family. And I'll see here. I have another picture from Noah's senior photo session when we all went out to the cities, and let's see if I can see that. There it is. And there it is. They were both from the same session, all three kids again out in the cities.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the basics of our family. I am first and foremost wife and mom, and there was the camera. Okay. I am a DMLC grad, but my work now is pretty much mostly volunteer. I do volunteer at West Lutheran High School. I'm their one of their study hall supervisor people, and I volunteer all my photography for them. So if you go to their website and check out their new website, a lot of the pictures up there are mine. I also end up with my photos on their cover. That was from graduation. I also direct our church choir, and of course the mom duties keep me pretty busy, but over the summers I usually end up doing a number of senior photo sessions for people that I know, and family photo sessions. Those ones aren't just volunteer. Not all of them anyway. But most of my photography is volunteer. So.
Neat. All about the arts. Photography. Do you do any painting or anything else in that realm? Anything more creative?
Well, nothing to speak of. Music and photography are my big things. So,
Wonderful. Well, I know I speak for both Sally and I. We really enjoyed all your contributions to the challenge, and we didn't count them up. We probably could, but you helped us get to that. I don't know if we're quite at 1,000 yet, but we will be soon. It wouldn't have been possible without you. So thanks for your dedication and your goodwill too, because some of those you wouldn't need to just make free. I'm sure you could sell them and or use them in some other way. But I really appreciate that.
Well, it's my pleasure. It's a way for me to do mission work in my small way.
Sure they'll be well used, and you'll see them on church websites and school websites elsewhere.
I'm excited about that.
Yeah, I have just a couple up just while we're talking about the photo challenge. I love this one that you did to represent communion. You actually did several to represent communion that were just gorgeous. Here's one with confirmation. And I think you and I went back and forth some about, you know, making sure you had permission to use the models and things like that. So everything was done so professionally. I love the Easter series. You had a bunch of different Easter pictures, but the ones with the beautiful brown eggs were so gorgeous.
Thank you.
Super cool.
My little baby props for those eggs.
And we have baptism represented, as well as this beautiful adoption picture as well. So just a few of the treats. I also did a little looking around some of your personal photos, and I found a couple that are here in this collage of you doing your work. And actually, probably when we finally connected personally was when you tagged me in this picture where you're standing on a chair with a background set up. This was probably for Palm Sunday.
Yes.
You want to tell us that story?
Yes, we had no blue skies in Minnesota at the time, so I bought some blue material to make my own blue skies. I actually used that for several. Then, you know, with the Easter lilies, the blue behind them is also that very same piece of material. And that is in our church narthex because it has fabulous huge windows that let in great light. So, and then if you look at the picture above it, that was Minnesota winter, and I froze my patootie off. I got a few pictures. One of the trees behind me in that picture, that there is a picture up in the photo challenge album. I took a few pictures, and then my fingers were too numb, and I had to leave and go back and warm up. And then, of course, the one over on the side there is the article in the Forward in Christ with that very communion picture up there.
That's neat. Yeah. That's a need to get that kind of recognition too. Do you have any of your own favorites? I know we had some favorites, but did some of them stand out in your mind?
That, you know what? I think that's probably the toughest question of all the questions that we were talking about. I do have some that, I mean, it's really hard to pick when you put effort into each and every.
Like picking a favorite child.
Yeah. Well, some of the Easter ones were my favorites. I actually had one of the egg pictures picked to share with you, and you can see it right there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then let's see here, that one too. And I was going to talk about that a little bit with you asked about you know, what things to think about when you're specifically staging photos for the schools. A lot of times, I liked to leave some room on the photo for their own words or advertisements. Mm-hmm. So that's what you see here with the just the eggs there. And there with the love. You know, so those are ones that I staged specifically for the Wells Tech. But as far as picking favorites, I don't know. I do have one favorite image, but I did not actually share that with Wells Tech, and I'll show you right now. It's a personal one is why, but it's one that I did last year, you know, along with some of the Wells Tech Challenge stuff. Here we go, and I'll find that. This is my daughter and her purple violin. So, and this was part of one of my own personal challenges, and that's one of the reasons that I really enjoyed the Wells Tech Challenge, because when you have something to work towards, it pushes you and challenges you to, you know, work on your art and to do some of these images that I normally wouldn't otherwise. Like, you know, some of those Easter photos, I wouldn't just do that you know, for myself, but right. when you have somebody saying, hey, you know, we'd like images like this, then it encourages you to be creative and make things up. And
so an image like that looks like you went through a little bit of post-production, you know, to do that. What kind of tools do you use for that?
That's a very good question. So aside from the regular photography tools that I use, then, you know, with the digital photography, everybody has to deal with their photos digitally. Mm-hmm. So I primarily use two programs, but there's a lot others besides them. So I start out, I shoot all of my pictures in RAW, which means that they're not set up just with the camera settings. It saves they're like, I don't know, 10 times, 12 times as big as a regular photo file. And then I develop them by hand in a program called Lightroom, which is like the old darkroom with the film. Mm-hmm. It's a digital darkroom, but it's called Lightroom. Yeah. And I do a lot of my developing in there, but there are some things that it isn't set up to do specifically, so I also have Photoshop Elements. And then there's a number of online programs that have some fun little features that I use also. But in order to deal with the big professional size photos, those two programs are what I use primarily. So
you take every one of them through some kind of post-production, or did some of the ones that you share just come basically straight out of the camera?
The ones that I shot specifically for WellsTech, I developed each one by hand. There are a number of pictures that I went back through my files for WellsTech, and I thought, oh, this might be nice, this might be nice. And some of those possibly were just from the JPEG, some of the older ones. But in the last, I don't know how many years, I pretty much used the RAW photo because you have so much control over your developing, you know, mm-hmm. you can lift the shadows and change the lighting and the white balance and all that stuff so much easier afterwards. So in fact, you know, there are white balance settings on my camera, for instance. I usually just leave it set on auto because I know that when I take in my RAW photo,
you can correct it
there. It anyway, I just mm-hmm. redo if it needs in the Lightroom program.
Well, are you self-taught?
I am.
Wow.
Yes, I am. But let me tell you, there's an awful lot that you can learn on the internet. And you know what? For anybody that wants to learn more about photography, that's read,
wonderful.
Read, and then go practice. So.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so you told us about your software. Maybe the other side of that is the hardware, your different equipment, not just the camera, but beyond. What kind of things do you use there?
You have some lights set up and such.
Correct. So the first thing I have to say is, you know, camera equipment is, of course, very expensive, and we operate on just my husband's pastor salary. So I had a benefactor who gave me my camera and lenses, and I'm very grateful. He saw my passion to share with the schools and encouraged me in that way. So my favorite equipment is what I have. And I encourage other photographers, what you have is cool. Get to know it, get to use it to its fullest extent, and you can do great things no matter what kind of equipment you have. So that being said, I am right now working with a Canon 6D, which is a full frame camera, and I love it. It's a lot of fun. It can go like super crazy ISO, up to 20,000 ISO. So I can do a lot without flash, which is nice. I mean, flash is good when you need it. And on there, now here's a difference between me and the big-time photographers. I'm using my kit lens, which if you talk to the big-time professional ones, they're like, don't, you know,
for
better glass, which is great if you can afford it. But I have to say, pretty good lens. A lot of times you'll see me using this because it's a variety lens. I've got wide angle and zoom on it, and it allows me to get a big shot or get into the action without disturbing what's going on, which for me is a good thing, shooting in the schools and catching what's happening. I don't disturb the students and their interaction, and I can still catch it. So I also have a prime lens. This is a 50 millimeter. Not a terribly expensive one, so it has its weaknesses, but overall it's pretty good. And this one is mostly for doing portraits, so with my senior photos I use that one a lot. And then I have one more lens, and this one is a Tamron zoom lens, and it has nice glass in it. It's a challenge for me because I use a Canon, and Tamron is set up like a Nikon to zoom the way Nikon does, so I always have to think backwards. But I use this a lot when I'm doing the stuff for the high school with, say, their plays and their concerts and football games and, you know, whatever, because I can get it up close better with this one. I do, this is I don't know, a controversy with photographers, but I do use the hood on my lenses when I can. It is supposed to cut down on extraneous light coming in, which, I don't know, that's where the arguments come in. But it does also protect your lens, and let me tell you how many times I've knocked against something, I've been very thankful to use a hood. So those are the lenses and my camera, but then I also have a small setup of studio lights, which has come in handy a number of times. I recently did a photo booth for the high school when they were doing their auction, and I had to use my lights to set up there, and they are probably the lowest level studio lighting you can get, but they work, and like I said, you work with what you've got, and I'm very thankful for it. Also very important to tool is a tripod. So, but when you get a heavy camera like this, you need a heavy-duty tripod. So I did invest in that. And when I use my flash, a bounce flash, because shooting directly at somebody makes a very flat image. So if you can bounce it, that's great. I also have a light modifier, which helps cut down on the glare, makes it a little bit softer. Another type of equipment that a lot of photographers use, and I have some, are reflectors. And I have two. One is actually set up helping reflect the light. But it's just a big disc. You can get them, like I have, kind of a translucent white. Mm-hmm. Or there's other gold and silver. But all of these are things to help with light, because without light, you can't take a photo.
There's no picture, yes.
Right.
Very so, good.
Yeah. And, of course, my backdrop. I have a few backdrops. This is my largest one that I purchased so I could cover out a very large area, and I also invested some of my money from senior photo shoots to get a nice backdrop stand that was lightweight and enough for me to carry and easy enough to port around. So
that what you have hanging there is over a portable, dedicated backdrop stand that you
Correct.
Can hold up. Okay.
Yes.
So I've seen people who put PVC together for that kind of thing.
I started out with that, yes. And if you have, you know, if you're in a studio where you can just leave it set up, it's cheap and pretty easy. And that's what I did for quite a while until I could save up enough where I had the need for the portable one. And I have to say, it's a lot easier to take down and set up. So if you have to move somewhere, it's nice.
Very good. Well, I'm guessing then all of those things come together for staging. We mentioned staging a little bit earlier where you leave some room and pictures and things like that. If someone's interested in this kind of thing and looking at their church and school and trying to get ideas of what might be good photography to use there, obviously you've done it for West, and maybe you would have some tips for them along those lines?
As far as for setting up the photos?
Sure.
Yeah. So, you know, it really depends on when I was setting up photos for this challenge specifically. I mean, of course, there's a lot of times when you just have a beautiful image and you just want to share it, and that's great, and people will use those too. A lot of, you know, Bible verses or memes or something can work real well over a beautiful picture. But setting up shots specifically, thinking of schools and churches and their advertising needs. My own husband asks for pictures sometimes too. So there's an image, an idea that you want to portray, but you also want to leave room for them if they want to use the photo itself to, you know, put their advertising on. Of course, they could, you know, put it on a white background and write around it, but a lot of times it's nice to use the whole image. It makes a great impact. So a lot of the ones that you showed you earlier, you know, you saw the space. Let me see if there's another one that's a good example. Oh, I know. Here we go. Let's see.
She has all these images indexed in her mind, I bet, you know, thousands of them that she can pull them out like this.
Yeah, well, I went through some of them ahead of time, and let's see here. I'll share this one with you. And, of course, Sally, you are familiar with this one.
Mm-hmm.
This is, I forget what month this one's for. So you see in the background there, I have some boards. That's I think they're called Tongue and Groove or something like that. They're just pine boards that I bought from Home Depot and put them together and stained them. It's maybe a 4x6 area of wood, and you've seen that showed up in quite a number of the photos I turned in. It's very handy to lay down on the floor, which is where this particular shot is taken. That cross that you see there, you may even have one of your own.
Little L cross, isn't it?
Yes. So I had that one hanging by my kitchen sink, and I brought that into the living room, laid it on my board, took a couple photos, and then these words, I use just a free online, I think it's called PicMonkey, because it has some fun, the type. Yeah, there's handwritten stuff, and I use a number of those. And so there again, that I use for those words is a free program. You know, so don't be afraid to utilize something that's inexpensive. You don't have to have the huge expensive programs for everything.
And, absolutely.
Yeah, and I mean, it's an easy to use program. It had a neat type to use. So anyway, that you can see there that I left space on that. It's a simple image. And yet it portrays what I wanted to portray. So, you know, the thing is that having a variety of photographers for contributing to something like this is great, because I only can think of so many things. You know, I go on Pinterest and I look for ideas and stuff, but what's available to me as far as backgrounds and materials and time, ideas, all of those, you know, what I can provide is just a small portion. But if we can, you know, have lots of people contribute to this, then you get even more variety of ideas.
So. I was going to ask you about that, because obviously you are a creative person and enjoy that process. But when you hear the photo challenge, do things spring to mind, or do you hunt, like you mentioned, on Pinterest, or, you know, surf the web looking for ideas, or a combination of both? What I'm sure people would love to kind of do what you did, because there are opportunities to find just that right image for the website or the school or the event or the sermon series or whatever.
Right.
That whole creative process, that's sometimes the hardest part.
You're right. It is. And it is the combination. So sometimes, you know, I'd look at the topic for the month's challenge, and something would pop into mind, and I'm like, oh, you know, I think of what things I have available to me, what props I already have, or I'm familiar with the town because I walk every morning for exercise, and I know what areas there are, and so some of the pictures that I turned in are from right along where I walk every morning, you know. So just daily life sometimes is inspiration, sometimes it's what I have available to me, sometimes it's I go and search on Pinterest and see, well, what kinds of ideas do other people use, and what do I have that I could make kind of like that, or, oh, that's a neat idea. I'll tell you what, when I'm looking at, you know, our church orders from Synod, the bulletins that have the pictures on them, every Sunday I get my bulletin and I'm like, wow, of taking a picture like that, and why didn't I think of that? You know what I mean? Because it's everything around you can be useful, and sometimes it doesn't have to be something spectacular, although there are spectacular shots on some of those pictures, but sometimes, like the simple cross that I got for confirmation, is very effective for what you want to portray. So everything around you, and I have to say, you know, it's just something that's just constantly on my mind. And I think I said that in the interview in the Forward in Christ, too. It just, you know, whenever I'm looking at something, I always think, oh, that would be a neat picture. Or how would I frame that? Or what would the lighting be? Or how could I use that? You know, I mean, it's just something that, because I love photography, it's something I always think about as I'm going around my daily life. So it doesn't have to be complicated. It can be just simple. But, yeah, it's a big combination of everything around you and research.
We appreciate you applying all that, both right brain and left brain activity, I think, because you certainly have the technical side down, too, that really was a blessing to the show and to our listeners and anybody who's going to take advantage of those photos in the future.
Well, I hope they do.
Definitely. Well, thank you for your time, Naomi. It's been a joy to watch all your work this year, and we wish you the Lord's blessings as you move forward with letting your light shine, because certainly using your gifts in a very positive way.
Well, thank you. And I really appreciate the opportunity to serve this way. Like I said, you know, I've had people help me along the way in my photography, and I see it as a way that I can then continue to contribute. And from my own small corner of the world in Minnesota, that I can reach out and help other congregations in some way too. So thank you.
Awesome.
Very good. Thanks for joining us, Naomi.
All right. Thank you.
So first of all, thanks, Naomi, for coming on the show, and not just for spending 15, 20 minutes with us, but I don't know how many hours she probably spent kind of figuring out what this challenge was, and then kind of figuring out what would be a good submission for it, because very creative, and each and every month it was kind of a highlight for me to see what she was going to do with the topic at hand.
Absolutely, and we certainly appreciate the preparation she put in just to that interview with us,
yeah,
Martin,
right,
and all of her equipment that she brought along to share and the tips and tricks that she shared there. I think I'm a better photographer just by spending those few minutes with Naomi, and always exciting to learn new things, and impressive that the knowledge is out there and you can increase your skills the way Naomi has. So
yeah, there's some simple things, but at the end of the day, not all of us are going to rise to that level, and that's okay too. There are lots of resources out there. Again, we'll put these in the show notes that will help maybe people that don't have that right side of the brain going on, that artistic side, and people that wouldn't call themselves designers. We've got a number of resources for you as well. One is entitled Four Options to Help Non-Designers Create Church Graphics, kind of a connect the dots kind of an approach. And also, there are many resources out there. We've talked about them in the past that provide stock photography that may well fit your purpose. I ran across one the other day called CreationSwap.com, free Christian photos and church graphics by a global Christian artist network. So there's, I think, a lot of these communities just springing up that provide post-worthy content that is just beautiful shots, beautiful images that may meet your needs as well.
Yep. So be sure to check out our show notes. We'll definitely have a link to the Wells Tech Photo Challenge album where you can find all the great images, which we shared in the podcast, images that Naomi submitted and that many others contributed as well. And then, look for those other links and learn more or find more resources as you have time and interest.
And even though it's not a challenge anymore, you are welcome to submit photos to the Flickr group that we have. One of our goals is to hit 1,000. We're not there yet, or are we there yet, Sally?
I think we're about 4 away, so we're really, really close. So
nothing goes to the 1,000 photo other than, you know, maybe we'll mention it on the show and show it, but we would love to continue to have that thing grow and become a great resource for Wells Tech listeners and anybody else who wants to take advantage of some really quality stuff. So
absolutely.
That link is on our show notes page as well. Mm-hmm. So we will probably consider the topic of photography even going into next week as we talk about photography and social networks. So stay tuned for that. But I think that's probably enough chit chat about photography. Let's move on to our next regular segment of our show, and that is news in tech. And we have some brand new mobile phone news, which is pretty startling, actually, from the makers of maybe one of the most popular or most talked about phones on the market today, and that's the Samsung Galaxy Note 7. Been in the news a lot for the features that it provides, the screen, the pen, the everything. And now, just recently, the fact that their batteries may explode.
Yep, they are being recalled, the whole kit and caboodle of them, which I would guess is millions at this point.
Significant, yes.
It's been out for about a month, I believe, mm-hmm. and maybe just a little jump ahead of Apple's announcement is expected this week of a new smartphone, and they got out in advance of that and got lots of market buy-in from that early release and stuff, and now the problem with fire. And so they're recalling them all. They said they found the problem. It was 10 countries that were affected, including the United States. some of the countries use different battery sources, like China, and so they aren't having the fire problem that the U.S. phones are having. So about 2.5 million, they said a new product will be coming out, obviously free to those that have already purchased the phone in the next few weeks. So if you have one of those Note 7s, it's time to return it to the maker. Yes.
Nothing like a phone going up in flames in your pocket or purse.
Yeah, that would not be good.
Not good.
It's so, not good.
Interesting. I can't recall anything of this gravity in the news in a long, long time. So, but that's kind of the nature of the beast with some of these lithium ion batteries that they can do that. So, interesting. And you know, if you've ever sent a phone or something with a battery in it via the mail, they ask that you put a little notice on the outside that says it does include this kind of battery just for this reason. So kind of particular about that coming on an airplane as well. So, all right. So that's our news and tech segment. Let's move on to more news from Wells, a segment we call Wells Now.
And it's time for us to announce a new interactive faith Bible study. This is an ongoing Bible study series done, I believe, by our adult discipleship office.
That's
there.
Right.
In the Synod. And what they do is they put together a Bible study and a presenter does it live. So there's video access to them, as well as I think they usually project some PowerPoint kind of slides or whatever as they lead the Bible study. And it's intended for folks to tune in to the live stream and then perhaps even do it in group settings, like at your congregation or, you know, gathered in someone's home or whatever it may be, so that during and throughout the Bible study, they pause and let the group discuss things and answer questions and things like that. So it's one leader. This time it will be led by Pastor John Brown, who's at Northwestern Publishing House. And he's going to be talking about what does this mean, the continuing importance of Luther's Small Catechism, a great topic for all of us. There's always room for us to review and remember our catechism. And so I would think pretty much any age could participate as long as, you know, they have the interest in studying the catechism a little bit more, some basic beliefs of the Christian faith. The dates are September 21st through October 26th. That's a Wednesday each week. And they do the same thing twice, once at 6 p.m. and once at 8 p.m. Central Time, hoping to meet people at different time zones and things like that. They repeat the study at 6 p.m. and 8 p.m. each week on Wednesday. So mark your calendars. September 21st is the first session in this new interactive faith Bible study.
So yeah, take advantage of that. Maybe get a group together yourself or see if your church wants to do that. That's really the intent. There's a chat window. That's how you interact with each other as well as the presenter. And you can kind of set your clock by, because they're really define that time, that it is 6 to 7 and 8 to 9, depending on what your time zone is. So you can kind of bank on it just being an hour. Take advantage of some of this technology that's bringing some of the brightest Bible study presenters out there on a particular topic right to you. So an opportunity for that. So we'll have a link in the show notes for the resources that are available. Usually there's a study guide that goes along with it. And then the schedule, and you tune in at that time in the evening on Wednesday, and away you go. So take advantage of that. John Brown at Northwestern Publishing House, an editor there, very much involved with Forward in Christ, but also very much involved with Reformation 500. He's on that committee, which we'll hear a lot more about next year. So he's knee-deep in Luther stuff, so he's a great person to be able to lead this Bible study on Luther's Small Catechism. That's our Wells Now segment. Thank you, Sally.
Yep. Before we leave it, I'll just make a real personal mention that my friend Martin Spriggs is behind some of that amazing technology that makes that happen. So thanks for your work on that as well, Martin.
Yep. I'll be behind, not in front of the camera, behind the camera, making sure that the chat goes off as planned and that we're sending a good, solid signal to everybody. So
awesome. Appreciate
that.
It.
Yeah, my pleasure. Let's move on to our next segment, which is our picks of the week. Sally, I'm sure you have a pick to start off the season here. I can't wait.
I do indeed. And this one actually comes because of some contact I had with Sarah McKee, who's a Wells member down in the Atlanta, Georgia area. And she wrote to me recently and asked for leads for audio Bible study resources. So the scenario is some people in larger metro areas spend a little more time in traffic than I do here in New Ulm, apparently. And her husband is one of those. I think Tony has like a 40-minute commute to and from work, you know, so that's a significant amount of time. And he's looking for something worthy of his time to listen to in the car as he does his daily commute. And, you know, they've listened to devotions and Bible readings and things, but he was looking for something longer. Perhaps sermons might fall in this category, or just a longer Bible study or whatever. And it kind of made me realize that we don't have a lot of people providing that kind of content. Beyond sermons, there's not a lot that I'm aware of, at least, that are like, for instance, recording their weekly Bible studies or are doing Bible study content that's longer for the web, publishing it via iTunes or some such thing. And so I did kind of rack my brains, Martin, and I came up with one that I could recommend beyond sermons. Obviously, sermons are out there, and there's a lot of people that are doing that now. But the one I remembered is actually an interview we did, and it's probably been 3 years ago or so, when we talked to Pastor Tom Bartel and Philip Wells, who are behind the Cana Bound podcast. And this is a podcast where they mix together, you know, Bible readings and music and, you know, just different sermons and things like that around a particular theme. And, you know, we talked to them right at the beginning of their efforts, but I see now that they have 113 of these podcasts out there, and they're kind of in that sweet spot of about 20 to 30 minutes, which seemed to be what Sarah was kind of looking for Tony's commute. So I sent her to Cana Bound. One of her caveats was that they hopefully would be downloadable, so he wasn't having to use his data plan to stream the content while he was traveling, but he could download it in advance.
Pieces, right.
Exactly. And these do provide a download link. Download the MP3 is available on each one of them. Now, I think when they started out, they maybe did it weekly or something, and I can tell from the dates on the files that they don't do it as regularly. I see one a month. The last one they did most recently was in June, and I'm not quite sure, you know, if they're continuing or not. I haven't reached out to them. But that doesn't discount the fact that there are 113 in their archives. So that's a lot of hours of great content that you can download and listen to on your MP3 player. So I was excited to have the opportunity and remember to go back and take a look at their site. I see a lot of great stuff there, and would encourage others to check it out. And then also would ask others to let us know if you have anything that kind of fits this bill that's a little bit different than just a shorter devotion or a sermon or a Bible reading, something more lengthy or whatever that you do on a semi-regular basis or whatever it is. We'd love to be able to share that on the show. But for now, my pick of the week is the Cana Bound podcast.
Yeah, and they are wrapped around a particular theme. So I think mm-hmm. it's a little bit different than this show where we kind of jump through segments and have different pieces. But they kind of focus on a theme and drive through different resources and conversations about it. So that is one option. If our listeners have other suggestions that would answer that question, please let us know that. Go to wellstech.wells.net and leave us a comment so that we can pass that along as well. So I'm sure there's stuff out there. We're just not in tune with it at this point. So help us out.
Mm-hmm.
My pick of the week is a pick that I've had before, but it's gone through some improvements lately, so I wanted to call that to everybody's attention, and that is the Wells Yearbook, the digital version, the online version. It is available as a link in the Wells mobile app, but it's also available at a website address, yearbook.wells.net. And some of the enhancements that we've made, hopefully you will find useful. One is that when you search for an organization and bring up bring up a particular organization, you have now more information about worship service times, especially around the days that they're offered, if you have evening services or if there are special times, so we offer worship service times, and also what might be available at that church for accessibility. So is the sanctuary, are the restrooms handicap accessible? Do you have personal sound enhancement equipment available? Do you have a hearing loop available? We also note whether there are signed services. So this has been a much requested feature of the locator. Now, it's not available in the locator yet, but it is available here in the yearbook. So if you're interested in knowing whether a particular church has those kinds of handicap accessible enhancements, then those icons will let you know that. Also, we are beginning now to share which congregations have live streamed services. So there's a live stream tab now, and you can see all of the churches within our church body that have some kind of live internet broadcast. Many of the churches here offer more than one or have a different schedule in the summer versus during the school year. And these are all in alphabetical order. I believe there's about 45 or 50 listed here. That's maybe, Sally, one of the most oft-asked questions we get about the yearbook or about the locator is, can we find a place where we can see all the live stream services? These are mostly from people who maybe are some distance from the closest congregation and would take advantage of a list of all the known live stream services that are out there. Now, I don't pretend to think that this is an exhaustive list. So if you see something that maybe your church provides that is not listed here as far as a live stream, let us know that and we'll point you in the right direction to get that on the directory. So those are some of the enhancements now that are available in the online yearbook. It doesn't have everything that the printed yearbook has at this point, but it's getting closer and closer, and it's available in the palm of your hand or your local web browser. So that's the that's yearbook.wells.net if you're interested.
And Martin, just a quick follow-up. Longtime listeners to Wells Tech may remember that we had a live stream services page on our Wells Tech Wiki. And just today, I went out and replaced the information that was there with this link to the online yearbook. Yearbook.wells.net/streaming will take you right to that live stream page. And we do feel like the information there is more up to date. We've just recently polled the congregations and asked about live streaming specifically. So hopefully you're going to find that to be a more up-to-date resource and more accurate.
Yep. Also, just a side note, if you have things that you're looking for that you don't see in the digital yearbook, let us know that too. We're trying to make it as good a useful resource as possible. So let us know how that can be improved for your experience as well.
Awesome.
Let's move on to ministry resources. I've kind of missed this topic over the summer.
I did too, Martin, and I'm sure you missed the fact that we haven't mentioned Pinterest nearly enough on the Wells Tech podcast. Mm-hmm. So our first ministry resource of the 2016-17 season of podcasting comes from our friends at Pinterest, where I found a Pinterest board dedicated to Bible crafts for kids. So I'm not sure who this user is that created this board, but she's just found, well, I guess 345 different Bible crafts for kids. I was going to say a whole bunch but we can be more specific. And I think it would be a great resource for Sunday school teachers, classroom teachers, anyone that's looking for craft ideas. I know that much of our Christ Light curriculum comes with great craft ideas as well, but maybe you've done those in the past and you're looking for something new or whatever. It goes on and on and on, all the different things that you can use for Bible craft ideas. And I would just encourage you, if you do have a particular lesson that you're looking for ideas on, maybe just type that in the Pinterest search box, and more than likely you'll have some hits on ideas for a specific lesson. But for now, we'll share the link to this Bible Crafts for Kids Pinterest board, and I've already followed it. You may want to follow it as well and see all the different craft ideas that come up.
Yep. Sometimes that's a challenge if you don't, you're not working with a particular curriculum, or if you're not real convinced that the craft that is listed there with your curriculum is the best one. There's plenty of resources out there. So
definitely
Pinterest, and thank you to those people who are posting that. And maybe you want to start your own board and share that with us as well. So that is what they're called, right? Boards.
Yeah, you sound like a pro. A Pinterest pro in my midst.
Off the lips now, yep. Let's move on to our featured video of the week.
And this is another segment that we're happy to return to. This week we found a video from our friends at Lakeside Lutheran High School, first day of school for freshman orientation. I thought it was a neat way to promote the school, to let folks know what they might expect if they send their kids to school there, or even new freshmen as they're coming in next year. They could watch this video and get an idea of what they can expect. So a neat idea. They've had 1,300 views so far, so that's pretty good for a first day of school video, and something you might enjoy and get ideas from as well.
Very nice. Yeah, and this is probably one of the more challenging sections, maybe you'd agree or disagree, Sally, I'm not sure, for us to fill each week. So if you have some suggestions for us there too, videos that you found that might be worthy of sharing in our featured video section, let us know that too. We don't have any real requirements. It's kind of a fuzzy category each week. If we don't have a category for a particular video, we kind of create one, so that's okay. But something that you think is worth sharing can be school-related, can be church, ministry, just something.
Music.
Educational, all kinds of things. So that's what goes in that featured video section. So we'd love your participation. Again, that's wellstech.wells.net, or just email us, wellstech@wells.net. As I mentioned at the beginning of the show before Naomi's interview, we are going to continue a little bit of a focus on photography for just another week. And we're beginning kind of a new series that we're calling Social Media for Ministry. So each month, and this is kind of in place of our book review, is we're really just going to zero in a particular kind of social media as it relates to ministry. And this will be the first installment for the series, and we'll do one a month. And we're picking Instagram. So Instagram for ministry, we thought it'd be a nice follow-on to our conversation today about photography. So if you've always wondered what Instagram's usefulness is in ministry, what it is, how it works, there's actually been some new features that have just been integrated into Instagram, these stories. Mm-hmm. They're a Facebook property, so there's some connections there. So Instagram for ministry will be our topic next week in our Social Media for Ministry series. So you're not going to want to miss that. Invite your friends, family members, neighbors, whoever. I'm looking forward to that. I have a lot to learn about Instagram. I use it off and on, but I actually enjoy it more so than maybe any other social network that I'm on. It's a very dynamic, happy place, as opposed to, you know, kind of the, you know, the things that you find on Twitter or Facebook. Most people are posting some neat things with neat thoughts on Instagram. So I'm looking forward to that.
Sounds like you're a fan of visual communication. Ties right in. Excellent.
As I should be. So at least that's what the surveys say. Sally, thanks for your work this week. Couldn't do it without you. Our thanks to Naomi for joining us. What a wonderful conversation we had with her. We look forward to more conversations about technology and ministry. Please join us for that next week. Bye-bye for now.